Good evening, everyone. Our God is an awesome God with incredible power. Throughout Scripture, we see Him do many amazing things and perform countless miracles. We can certainly all agree that God's powers are very extensive. However, I dare say that many of us are not familiar with the finer details of this power. Sun Tzu once said, "If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory you will also suffer a defeat. But if you know neither yourself nor the enemy, you will succumb in every battle." Therefore, if we are going to be able to defeat our enemy of sin, we need to know ourselves and our God and His power. God is traditionally said to be omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Let's take a look at each one of these ideas here tonight to get a better understanding and see what Scripture says about these godly abilities. We'll start by looking at the most straightforward aspect of God's nature, His power. God's power is unlimited, though there are people in the world today that would lead us to believe otherwise. We are told this directly in the Bible within verses like Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, which says, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 7 echoes this idea, saying, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things." And finally, Jesus Himself tells us about God's power in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, where He says that with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The fact that God cannot be tempted to commit sin or commit sin does not mean that His power is unlimited. Rather, God doesn't sin because He has set His will against sinful acts. And as we are told in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, God will never violate His own will. This verse tells us, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. This means that now that God has set His will against sinful acts, He can never be tempted to commit them because His will is unable to be violated. Numbers 23 and verse 19 tells us a similar idea, saying, "God is not a man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it? God has no reason to change His mind, because He is the timeless creator of the universe. Therefore, what He has said is sinful will be sinful now and forever." This is why God's will can be described as perfect, as we see it in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Sin is not a force that limits God's power, like an army fighting the army of God. Rather, sin is what lies outside of God's will. For example, a walled city, with what is inside the walls being what God has set aside as His will, and what lies outside being the sinful acts of the world. We do well to remember that God's greatest enemy is sin, and that the devil is simply an agent of sin seeking to spread it within the world. This is also why sin is described as something that God hates in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These verses say, "There are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." That means that even though God has the power to do all things, He chooses to do only good things because He loves us unconditionally and He is a benevolent God. Now we'll move on to look at the second aspect of God's nature, His omniscience, which we more commonly know as God's wisdom. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30 famously tells us, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered," indicating that God knows every detail about us and our lives. A similar idea is presented in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, which reads, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Finally, we get an interesting look at God's wisdom in Psalms chapter 147, verses 4 and 5. Here the psalmist says, "He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty is his power. His understanding is infinite." This example of calling the stars by name is specifically interesting because modern science tells us that there are about 1 billion trillion stars in the universe. And the Bible says that God can not only count them all, but can call them all by their names. This presents to us a picture of a God whose knowledge truly cannot be limited. Finally, we will look at God's omnipresent nature. This is his ability to be everywhere at once. The Bible is quite explicit that this ability of God can be taken at face value. God truly is everywhere at all times. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27, Solomon says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built." We see a very similar statement in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1, in which God says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest?" We see this very explicitly stated in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, in which David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light around me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." God is present throughout all areas of existence, whether it's heaven or hell or anywhere in between. But not only is God everywhere in the physical world, he is also there all the time. We see this in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, in a verse that's also repeated in two other places within the book, where Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Since God is literally infinite, he is truly beyond human comprehension. We therefore risk missing the full extent of God's presence because it's just too big for us to understand. When we say that God's presence is everywhere, we sometimes imagine that God is evenly spread out throughout the entire universe. However, even this is too small for God. God is big enough that he is 100% in every place at every time. That means 100% of God is with me right now, and 100% of God is with each of you right now, and 100% of God is with every person on the earth right now. And even with every particle of matter that exists in the universe, 100% of God is there right now. That is the amazing power of our God. Or should I say, still only a part of his power. Because this 100% rule does not only apply to the here and now, it also applies to all time. God knew the future of the universe from the very beginning, as we are told in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10, which says, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God is present at every point in history simultaneously. This means that he doesn't see time one moment at a time like we do. He sees it as a timeline of one event leading to the other and his plan being carried out through human history. This is why God never changes, as we are told multiple times in the Bible, including Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, which says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Also in James chapter 1, verse 17, which tells us every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, what does all this knowledge about the power of God really mean to all of us here? Well, for us, it means three things: that we should have a greater respect for God, a greater fear of God, and a greater desire to be like God. We should desire to be like God because He is omnipotent, yet chooses to do only good. This is why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:1 to imitate Christ. Like God, we should reject all that is evil with no exceptions. We should also fear God because He is omniscient. There's no secret that we can keep from Him. We see this idea in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4, where David says, "O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether." God knows every word that we have said, that we will say before it is even said, and likewise, He knows our sins before they are even committed. How disappointing it must be for Him when we do not even make an attempt to keep our minds and hearts clean. Finally, we should respect God because He is omnipresent. No matter where you go or what you do, God will be there with you, always. But that isn't all. We talked before about God's eternal nature, which means He's present throughout the world's history simultaneously. That means that from the first letter of the first word of the first chapter of the first verse of the first book in the Bible, God knew every detail of the story that would unfold. That means when God created the heavens and the earth, He saw that Adam and Eve would eat the forbidden fruit. That means when He created the heavens and the earth, He saw that Noah would build an ark to escape the flood. When He created the heavens and the earth, He knew that Moses would part the Red Sea to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. When He created the heavens and the earth, He saw David killing the giant Goliath to show His faith. When He created the heavens and the earth, He saw that His people would be captured and taken into Babylonian captivity. When He created the heavens and the earth, He knew that He would send His Son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. When He created the heavens and the earth, He saw Saul blinded on the road to Damascus. When He created the heavens and the earth, He saw the fall of the Roman Empire. When He created the heavens and the earth, He saw George Washington crossing the Delaware in the American Revolution. When He created the heavens and the earth, He saw Allied troops storming Normandy in World War II. When God created the heavens and the earth, He saw Donald Trump taking the oath of office as President of the United States. And finally, when God created the heavens and the earth, He saw each and every one of you sitting right where you are tonight. When in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, God saw that what He had made was very good, He saw you in your day-to-day life. And when God, in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, hung on a cross to save us from our sins and give us a hope of heaven, He could see in His mind you at your very worst moment, and me at my very worst moment, and every person who ever lived and ever will live at their very worst moment. And in His unconditional love for us all, He never once doubted that He was making the right sacrifice to give us a hope of heaven. After this sacrifice that He made for us, will you still neglect your love for Him? If not, please come forward and confess Him tonight as we stand and as we sing.